Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. And I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye. And today on Live Talk, we're looking at the final report by the European Union Observation Mission on Zimbabwe's elections. We will also be looking at the visit by Opposition Citizens Coalition for Change leader Nelson Chamisa to the home of the late Tafumanei Masia, who was abducted and murdered. Chamisa was paying his respects to the family. Rights groups including Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, and Southern African Rights Defenders Network have condemned the murder of Masia. The United States and UK embassies in Harare have called for full investigations on the matter. But first, President Joe Biden on Thursday stressed the strength of America's economic growth in a bid to sway 19 Asian Pacific economies to partner with the U.S. As China's leader bid the same this week's gathering of Asian leaders and powerful CEOs. The business world is asking, why not both? VOA's Anita Powell reports from San Francisco.
For these 19 Pacific and Asian economies in the orbit of the U.S. and China, the APEC summit is a chance to watch those nations' top two salesmen make their pitch. And pitch they did, with summit host President Joe Biden on Thursday touting his nation's brisk economic growth to CEOs, a not-so-subtle jab at China's sluggish growth, and the results when governments partner with the U.S.
For decades, America's enduring commitment to the region has been a springboard that's enabled growth, transformative growth, ensured the open flow of commerce, lifted millions of people out of poverty. Today, that relationship goes both ways. The United States remains vital to the future of the region, and the region is more vital than ever to the United States of America.
Chinese President Xi Jinping reminded each delegation he met with of China's status as a major trading partner, assuring them he has no desire to fight a war and soothing investors' concerns amid Beijing's tightening security rules and growing military ambitions.
China has no intention to challenge or replace the U.S. Instead, we are glad to see a confident, open and prosperous U.S. Likewise, the U.S. should not bet against China or interfere in Chinese internal affairs.
The business world is watching these campaigns and asking, why not have both?
Decoupling of the world's dominant economies is neither possible nor is it prudent. De-risking, or we prefer to call it diversification, has to become the name of the game. We are far better served, in fact, we are best served, if we focus on fostering inter- and inter-regional collaboration.
And business leaders in the Asia-Pacific say they've benefited from competition between the two superpowers. The head of Malaysia's American Chamber of Commerce told VOA that the workforce's dynamism and English skills has led to growth in many fields, semiconductors, medical devices and technology, and more.
I think it's really positive. We're seeing a lot more growth from different sectors, and Malaysia's being looked at for different strengths that we didn't even realize we had.
Asia analysts say the dynamic in the region is not likely to radically or quickly change.
I think the Biden arguments are probably the ones that are more likely to carry the day. But of course, as we saw from so many business leaders meeting with Xi Jinping, China's still an important market. And for some of those businesses, an important production hub. And that's not going to change anytime soon.
Also Thursday, Biden launched a 14-country economic framework that aims to sweeten the deal. While he acknowledged that the Indo-Pacific economic framework is not quite complete, negotiators failed to reach consensus on the crucial trade pillar. In praising the plan, he brought up one area where the U.S. outshines all competition: its huge capacity for private, not government, investment. Anita Powell, VOA News, San Francisco.
Tens of thousands of Israelis who have been living abroad have come back to Israel to join reserve army units and assist the war effort. Among them are hundreds of lone soldiers, Jews from around the world, who had previously volunteered, trained and served with the Israeli army but have no family in the country. Linda Grandstein reports for VOA from Jerusalem.
Thousands of Israelis living abroad returned to join the 360,000 reservist soldiers called up to fight in the war against Hamas. Former Israeli paratrooper Josh Ulansey was beginning his last year of law school in California, but he volunteered to come back when the war broke out.
So the biggest reason I came back was to be with my friends and my team. I kind of struggled to imagine continuing my semester in school, knowing that my friends and my family were out in the field, protecting the country that we all love. And I just knew that I wouldn't be able to focus on my studies, much less feel like I was doing everything I could.
Ulansey is a lone soldier, one of thousands of Jews from abroad who volunteer for the army with no immediate family in Israel to support them. At least four lone soldiers have been killed in the fighting in Gaza, yet Ulansey says that he feels safer in Israel than on his and many other American university campuses, where there has been a sharp increase in anti-Semitism. Other Israelis living abroad have left their jobs and families to come join their reserve units. Eli, who asked that his last name not be revealed for security reasons, left his wife and four young children in England as soon as the war started, returning only for a weekend to celebrate his son's bar mitzvah.
And just this sense of mission, of together, that, you know, goes beyond any limits and any dividers that used to be between people in Israeli society, was just tremendously positive and uplifting.
Many other Israelis have returned to join the thousands of volunteers serving in civilian aid groups. Having lived and worked in New York for the past 9 years, physiotherapist Tali Spiesman is volunteering at an Israeli hospital to treat survivors of the October 7th Hamas attack.
There's so many of them. There's a grandma that laid on her grandchildren to try and save them. And have injuries of like shreds of a grenade that have injured all over her legs. There's a lot of horrible injuries in both civilians and in soldiers.
Those who have come back to Israel to join the war effort say they have no idea how long they'll stay, but they have no intention of leaving until the war ends. Linda Gradstein, VOA News, Jerusalem.
The leader of the opposition CCC, Nelson Chamisa, today paid his respects to the family of the late Tafumane Masia in Mavuku. Chamisa accused the government and the ruling party for having a hand in the death of the opposition activist.
Vabva ku provincial task force yedu, vabva kuma coordinators ari kuma different wards, emishasha varidzi vezvinhu vemuno mumabhuku, vanoita kuti tirire. Dawa kurira kwedu ndo kwaitisa mchuchu kune mabhinya. Kurira kwedu ndo kwaitisa kuti ivava vapedza kuba mari yenyika. Vafunga kuti mari haina kukwana voba upenyu. Ndo zvaita kuti techitiko chinozi. Matongerwo enyika hasi ekupokana. Matongerwo enyika hasi ezvibhakira. Matongerwo enyika hasi emakuva. Chero tikaenda kumakudo haana kupata sezvizvi. Hauwani makudo achirovana zvokusvika pakuvigana. Asi uchaona kuti kune vanoita izvozvo. Ndava vakabatwa nemadhimoni enyika. Asi zivai kundo magumo. Maitiro akadai kuoneka. Chiitiko ichi. Kubata mufundisi. Kuchikora seuku. Zvopera zvakadaro. Chokwadi ndinokutaurira imene mene tekelo mfasi. Umambo hunopera.
Chamisa also addressed the issue of the continued recalls of his members by one Sevenzo Shabangu, who claims to be the interim secretary general of the CCC party, but the party had denied him.
All those recalls will fight all these illegalities. Of course, the courts have their own limitations, but we'll make sure that we leave no stone unturned. We are doing everything within our power politically, diplomatically, but also even legally to make sure that we exhaust this matter. There's no need for by-elections to be conducted in this country.
You're not going to take part in the elections?
Look, that's a decision that is going to be pronounced once we have had our meetings. We're having meetings very soon. In fact, we're supposed to meet this week. But because we want to honor our chain champion, we couldn't hold this meeting in the context of money. So we've postponed and we're going to have a meeting just to be able to articulate the way forward in the country.
That there was the leader of the opposition, CCC, Nelson Chamisa, speaking about the recent recalls of some of his lawmakers and councillors in Harare. The government was not immediately available for comment. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. And today we are discussing the abduction and murder of opposition activist Tafumane Masaya. We're also discussing the final report by the European Union Observation Mission on the 2023 general elections. The presentation of the report was held virtually today with key recommendations to improve future electoral processes. In short, the report blames the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission for failing to adhere to local and international standards regarding the conduct of elections. And to discuss these issues, we are joined by Masimba Mabaza of ZANU-PF and Tawanda Jokora of the CCC. Welcome to Live Talk, gentlemen.
Thank you, Zimbabwe. Welcome, Comrade Jokora.
And I'll start with you, Mr. Mabaza. You heard what Mr. Chamisa said at the funeral of Mr. Masaya. Why is government quiet on this issue?
You're taking a lot of things. Are you talking about the issue of Mr. Masaya's death?
Yes.
Or the issue of recalls?
The issue of the late Masaya's death. He blamed ZANU-PF and, you know, the government as well.
Yeah, the government is quiet because there is no proof, there is no evidence that Masaya was killed or kidnapped by ZANU-PF or government agents. We are aware that there is a lot of divisions in CCC resulting in Chabangu recalling MPs. So the possibility of CCC killing themselves, fighting their own factions, is very high. So we will not be surprised to know that after the full and proper investigations, we will realize that Mr. Masaya was killed by his own people, by his own CCC factions, probably led by ET or by Western Nube, or by Chamisa himself. Because these are the people we know who are very violent, who kill each other, who beat each other, and they cannot unite themselves as a party. You can see from these recalls, which continue to happen unabated. So, yes, there is no iota of a shred of evidence which points to the government. Masaya was campaigning for a man who was believed to be put there by and Kuth means by Chamisa. They believe that Chamisa had shown great favor and imposed this man. So it is greatly possible that Pastor Messiah was killed by his own people, probably sent by Tokora or anybody else. But we cannot trust Triple C because CCC means Chekeresa, Chekeresa, Chekeresa. So they are doing that upon their own, and as a result, Zimbabwe government have nothing to comment about what they don't know.
Mr. Tokora, your response on what we're hearing, Mr. Mabaza, they're saying about what we're seeing transpiring in the country, especially after the murder of the late Messiah.
Let me begin by saying nematambudziko kumhuri yekwaMasaya, vana vese, mhuri yese yemabhuku Tafara, mhuri yese yeTriple C, neZimbabwe yese yakarasikirwa nemufundisi wedu, baba Tafumanei Masaya. Vana Mavaza neZanu PF muri kutongovaona kuti ndivo vakaponda, ndivo vakauraya, ndivo varoyi. Muroyi hauye kuzobata maoko, atadza kana kubata maoko, asi ropa rakadeuka. Ropa rakadeurwa nevanhu vanozikanwa mumabhuku, vanofamba naScott aruda kuita MP wemabhuku Tafara. Motokari dzakatora vaTafumanei Masaya dzinozikanwa kuti imotokari dzeZanu PF, asi tinoshamisika kuti nanhasi hakuna atabatwa, hakuna atasungwa. Iyo Zanu PF yacho yakanyarara, mapurisa acho akanyarara, nekuti vari kuziva kuti vanhu vakaponda, vanhu vakauraya vaMasaya, vanhu veZanu PF vari kuedza kudziviridza. Saka isu sevana, semhuri yeZimbabwe, semacitizens eZimbabwe, tinoramba tichisora humondi huri kuitwa neZanu PF. Kana taakufamba tichitaura kuti Zanu PF materrorist, is a terrorist organization, vanoti tiri kutengesa nyika, vanotirova nemutemo wavo vanenge vachitaura wepatriotic act. Asi chokwadi ndechekuti ukaona hurumende inoponda vanhu vayo, inoabducta vanhu vayo, inosunga vanhu vayo pasina zvavanenge vaita, is a terrorist regime. It's a terrorist organization. Zanu PF must be banned. Zvavari kuita muZimbabwe hazvibvumirwe nemutemo yenyika dzose. Ndosaka muchizoona dzimwe nyika dzizotaura kuti muZimbabwe hamuna demokrasi, muZimbabwe hamuna mutemo. Vanenge vaona umhondi huri kuitwa navamunangagwa neZanu PF hwavakaita kuna vaMasaya. Ropa ravaMasaya riri mumaoko avamunangagwa, riri mumaoko eZanu PF, riri mumaoko aShabangu uyo ari kushandiswa neZanu PF.
Mm-hmm. Back to you, Mr. Mabaza. Is it not the duty of the government to protect all its citizens, irrespective of their political affiliation?
I fully agree with you. The government's duty is to protect every citizen of Zimbabwe, including Masaya. Unfortunately, when Masaya was taken by his own Triple C members, the government, it was difficult to see where he was. They did not report the matter of a missing person. They simply started their propaganda of lies, blaming Scott and Zanu PF, which is really not called for. It is actually expected that when there is a problem and somebody has gone missing, you go to the police, you tell the truth of what happened, so that the police would follow the leads. But if you lie, it becomes difficult because the police will be following the lie, and then they will go nowhere with the lie. So yes, it is the government's duty to protect. That's why if we speak now, the police have actually assigned senior investigating officers in the CID department to look and investigate into this matter. And definitely, with our police and the way they've worked hard and well, we will find people being arrested. And unfortunately, the Triple C have now found a reason to spread their propaganda and lies about Zanu PF in Zimbabwe. They now want to tell their handlers that there is violence in Zimbabwe, even if they know that there is no violence in Zimbabwe. Nobody has been killed by the ruling party or by anybody else. Those who are killing themselves are Triple C, and it's a shame. When the truth comes, we will be arresting those involved in this gruesome murder of an innocent man. ZANU-PF has nothing to worry and to be afraid of in the by-election. We know CCC had destroyed itself by being confused in its strategic of ambiguity or the ambiguity strategy. And that has made them see all these things happening. So when we go to elections now, we're going to win these elections without any state of violence. There was never violence in August 2023, 23 August. Why would we start now? We have got more chances of taking that seat to us, the Mabungu seat, and all other seats which have been cast open by Semenzo Shabangu, the Secretary General of CCC. So we have no reason whatsoever to stoop so low to a violent nature. Because ZANU-PF by nature is peaceful, democratic, and nonviolent.
Thank you there, Mr. Mavasa. Mr. Jokora, from your point of view, what are the broader issues at play here?
What are the what?
What are the major issues at play from what we're seeing happening?
Oh, yeah, of course. This is what we have always said, that in the country there is no law. And this is the reason why we also say that the elections in Zimbabwe were not free and fair or even credible because they were marred by violence. And you are seeing the violence coming up again because these are baseless and useless by-elections that were caused by ZANU-PF itself.
Please hold on, Mr. Jokora, please hold on. Let me take a caller quickly. Hello, caller Makadi. Caller, hello.
Hello.
Hey, Trukutawara Nani Murukupi, caller.
Okay, Murukutawara na Edwin Chiamba, Kwendriku, South Africa, Johannesburg.
Taura Itinswi.
Okay, ya, ziri kuitika munyika, ziri kutirwadza, takaona maelections achiitwa anga asiri free and fair.
Mm-hmm.
Uyezve takuona vanhu veopposition vachipondwa. Vachipondwa ne vanhu veZANU-PF. Saka zvinhu zvinotikashamadza kuti sangano rinoti rakarwira rusununguko rinoti rakati after my elections vachizviti vahwina ivo vaiva refri nekuti varimo muzeki handizi nhasi vavakuponda vanhu after my elections havakati vakahwina saka dambudziko ndiri kushaya kuti riri papi.
Mm-hmm. Pane zvamungada here kubvunza kune vanyarikani vedu vari pano?
Toda kungotsiura ZANU-PF tichiti iri kuda kukonzera kumukirana munyika. Ndozvinokonzera massive war zvairi kuita izvi. Kunya vanhu kuti vaite vakonzere massive war ngaisadaro. Ngairege kudaro.
Aiwa, tinotenda chaizvo mukoma vari pa South Africa. But thank you very much. Gentlemen, before we are going to move on now, let's shift our focus to another hot topic. The European Union issued its final report. In a nutshell, it says ZEC did not do its job according to the laws of Zimbabwe and international standards. I'll start with you, Mr. Mavasa. What's your response on what we saw coming out of the European Union Observers Emissions report today?
If we look at the whole report today and check it on the round, it is not a criticism of Zimbabwe. It is actually an advice. They've pointed out its shortcomings, but it is the whole electoral system was not premised upon shortcomings. But there were shortcomings because there is no perfect election on earth. Again, you will notice that EU, the observer mission of their report, while they showed some rather disbelief or revulsion on the way they were attacked on social media, the one thing which makes us happy is that EU, observer mission, was formed of member nations who believe in freedom of speech. So people who wrote what they wrote on social media and seem to have been attacking the EU observer mission, those people are not ZANU-PF. Neither are they the government of Zimbabwe. Those are Zimbabwean individuals who have their own opinion. That's why it is on social media. Social media is entirely like a toilet wall. Anybody writes what he wants, but we cannot blame the builder of that toilet. So we do not blame Zimbabwe for the insults or for the attacks EU had on social media. It actually shows them that Zimbabwe does not control social media. We cannot control Facebook, WhatsApp, or whatever form of communication which was used.
So thank you there. Thank you, Mr. Mavaza. Let me switch over now to you, Mr. Jokora. What's your view on the EU report and also what Mr. Mavaza has just said?
What the EU has done is to confirm and reaffirm what we, the citizens, what CCC has said, what SADC has also said, that the elections were not free, were not fair, were not credible. EU today reaffirmed that Emmerson Mnangagwa did not win the 2023 election. EU also reaffirmed that Mr. Mnangagwa is an illegal president. He is not the legitimate president of Zimbabwe. And also that the election, even though it was not free and fair, was obviously won by President Nelson Chamisa. And this is what is everywhere. This is what all the organizations in Zimbabwe and outside Zimbabwe have said, that the 2023 election was a shame of an election, and therefore it could not produce a legitimate president. And that's the reason why you're seeing ZANU-PF continuing to do what they are doing, the killings, the extrajudicial killings, the killing of Pastor Masaya, the abductions that are ongoing, the abduction of Councillor Wombe, the abduction of Honorable Ngadzuore, Honorable Chidagwa. All those things cannot be done by a political party that says it won an election. They are trying to find legitimacy. They are trying to stifle any dissenting voices. They know that the moment they do not do that, the people of Zimbabwe are going to get in the streets and express their emotions and show the world that they are not happy about the 2023 election and that they are not happy about the imposed candidate, the imposed president of Mr. Mnangagwa. So what EU has done is just to reaffirm what the people of Zimbabwe already know, that Zimbabwe doesn't have a legitimate president.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much there, gentlemen. Because of time, we're not going to be giving each of you time to wrap up so that we can also read some of the, you know, listener comments and also take our callers. But thank you to Mr. Masimba Mavaza of ZANU-PF and also Mr. Tawanda Jokora of the CCC. Let's meet again sometime next week. I'll just go back to our Facebook pages. I'm on VOA Shona right now. There is someone called Kabelo Mpofu is saying time will tell. He's saying that time will tell to what happens in Zimbabwe. There's also Lynette Govere who says, Tichaona kunoenda ngozi. He is not happy with you, Mr. Mavaza. She's not happy with you, Lynette Govere, you know, on your comment. But you know, these are some of our followers and just giving their own views on what they think is going on in you know, in the country and the way forward for Zimbabwe. So I'd also like to thank those that are live streaming with us on the Ndebele page as well, and also on VOA Studio 7. We value your comments, and we will ask also that you like, you share our live after we're done, and you also continue to comment so that we can pick on some of your comments to read on our future shows. And that brings us to the end of our show. Signing off in Washington, I'm Marvelous Nhlanganya Huye.